Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Long-running PBS series American Health Journal went to the next level last week. That level was a 24/7 programming venture reaching an audience through Roku. Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV distribution will come soon, and that may not be all in the works. Executive Director Ronald Perez joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Then after the bottom of the hour, we'll recap the most surprising Emmy Award outcome in years and hear your thoughts about the winning and losing nominees and the ceremony that unwrapped last night on Fox. Also ahead, early Emmy ratings and not good news for Fox. Move over, Peacock. LX is on your tail and the answer to our current classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us to kick off the week for the program All About Television. Very busy week here in New York. We have Advertising Week going on near Lincoln Center. We've got the Future TV Forum coming up tomorrow at the Museum of Jewish Heritage in Battery Park City. We've got a special event that we will be going to and transmitting live from on Thursday. We'll tell you more about that later on. We have 3 episodes this week coming your way for the program All About Television. We're delighted to have you with us for number one. It is 88 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we invite you to be part of the program, especially in our second half hour dealing with the aftermath of the Emmys. And all you have to do to be part of our program throughout the hour is give us a call. Just pick up the phone and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country and all around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our chat room is up for business as well. It's another way you can communicate with us. Somebody's already in the room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Ron Perez joins us live from Palm Desert, California, after these news notes. What transpired at the 2019 Primetime Emmy Awards on Fox last night may end up an all-time viewership low for live award ceremonies of any kind. Preliminary Nielsen results suggest between 5 to 8 million people watched the Emmys live. That's right, only 5 to 8 million people. That's off 23% from last year's run on NBC and 30% down from CBS's 2017 presentation. While Nielsen suggests the Emmy had 10% of viewers watching last night, 23% tuned in to Sunday Night Football on NBC. It looks like Peacock will not be the only big TV venture NBC Universal will debut next April. The Comcast division's local stations will hook up for LX, a digital and multicast network presenting innovative news coverage and perhaps more aimed at millennials and Generation Z inhabitants. The service will originate from NBC Dallas affiliate KXAS with up to 10 minutes of commercials per hour. Telemundo affiliates also may contribute stories and local reporters. Now some quickies. Broadcast TV's new season gets going tonight with Bluff City Law on NBC, Bottle of Amanola and All Rise on CBS, and Prodigal Son from Fox among the new series in play. Will Arnett will take a part in The First Team, a soccer set misadventure comedy from BBC Studios. Limetown, Facebook Watch's latest scripted series, will premiere October 16th. And just in, Supernatural co-star Jared Padalecki will go from chasing demons to criminals when the CW series ends next year. CBS TV Studios will have Padalecki play Walker, Texas Ranger, in a series update of that Chuck Norris starring production. And that is news notes for today. Once again, our second half hour, we'll recap the 2019 Primetime Emmy Awards that were held last night on Fox. We'll give you the total breakdown of who won what, and we want your reaction to not only the winners and the losers, but also the Emmy ceremonies themselves. That's coming up in our second half hour. Throughout television history, there have been a lot of interesting attempts to try to present the world of health, personal health, to viewers. Some have worked, some have not. In the 1970s, reporter Marion Machado did a series called Netflix on a very limited, on a very limited budget through NBC stations across the country and did quite well for several years. In the 1980s, Today Show personality Dr. Art Euling came up with Cable Health Network, a 24-hour service dealing with health and lifestyle matters. It also included a very innovative Sunday morning presentation aimed at physicians and general practitioners. It was the first example of prescription advertising on television. While that block worked well, the lifestyles and health information part did not. That was the big part. And ultimately, Cable Health Network, in about 2 years, became, guess what? Lifetime television for women. More recently, we've had the success and syndication of the Dr. Oz show, which has run for more than a decade. And now, there's also American Health Journal, which has been around PBS throughout the country for about 30 years. And last week, American Health Journal took the big step of becoming a 24/7 programming service available on Roku, with other smart TV connected devices and other smart TV sets a possibility for down the road before the end of this year. And as I mentioned, tease, that may not be all. Joining us live from Palo Alto, California, the home of American Health Journal, is its executive director, Roland Perez. Roland, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
It is a pleasure. Honor for us to have you. Roland, what's been the early reaction to your new service?
It's been very good from everyone. The healthcare professionals that are trying to get their message out, hospitals, and most importantly, the viewers that I've had numerous phone calls from all over the country following up questions because people who listen to healthcare programming, a lot of it, they get focused on some of their own problems or a problem of a family member, and it becomes very important and they want to listen. And so that's the service we've been providing for many, many years.
Why do you think, before we get to how this service was formed, why do you think your series and Dr. Oz have been very successful in relaying health information in an engaging way, while other situations like the Art Levine Project of the 80s, Cable Health Network did not? Is there some sort of secret formula, secret sauce, something special you need to do to make health information engaging to the public?
I really don't understand why they failed, but I understand what people want in healthcare because we've been doing it a very, very long time. And it's that they want to hear from a doctor. A lot of times you get too much of the host speaking medicine rather than the doctor. So they want to hear from the healthcare professional. And that's all we do. We're almost 100% physician-driven interviews. And we have a formula, which is basically we allow them to talk about the disease or the condition, and then we talk about symptoms, we talk about diagnosis, we talk about testing, we talk about treatment, and then we talk about the future of what's going on in that particular area of medicine. And it answers everyone's questions, and I think that's one of the reasons that it has been successful.
Do you do this through panel discussion and demonstrations as Dr. Oz does, along with the doctors, I should say? It's another also long-running show in syndication, about a decade old, still going on, I believe, with many of the CBS television stations. Or do you do anything on the road? You know, go out to local hospitals, go out to local health organizations.
Yes, we go 100% of our stuff is done in the field. One thing you don't have a lot of cooperation with is doctors when they have to travel, give a whole patient day away to be with you and doing the traveling. Doctors are very busy. You have to go to them. And so that's what we've been doing for years. We set up an area in the hospital or at the medical center or at the research center, as we did at Baylor the other day or at Yale University, and speak to the researchers there. And that also gives us time, because we are a television show, to do action shots and be able to go into the lab with the cameras and make the segment, which are usually 5-minute segments, make them interesting.
How long has your organization looked at doing a round-the-clock programming network?
I think we're going into 6 weeks.
That fast in terms of development?
Yeah, we've been working on this for about 6 months, but we have been live for about 6 weeks on streaming. Of course, you know, our PBS television show runs each week throughout the country. We have 100 million viewers, and we're syndicated throughout the United States. but we've taken this content, and literally we've only used 14% of our content that we have, because we do have the largest amount of physician-driven interviews than anybody in the world. So we have taken the best of the best and have put it on American Health Journal TV, which is a streaming channel.
And that streaming channel is currently available on Roku, one of the top smart TV connected devices around. It will soon be on Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV and other such devices and smart TV sets not too far down the road. And there may be more. As I said, there may be more, too, ahead. We are speaking with Raul Perez. He's the executive director of the organization that puts American Health Journal Channel on the air, as well as the weekly PBS series available throughout the country. He joins us live from the organization's headquarters in Palm Desert, California. This half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom and Applebaum with you live from New York. Thanks for starting your week off with us, the promo about television, coming your way Mondays and Fridays, normally on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have three episodes coming your way this week. Our second one is a special dandy. For the first time in several years, we are going on the road. We will be joining you live from the New York City College of Technology in downtown Brooklyn for the annual NYC Media Lab Summit. It's going to be a very exciting look of demos, panel sessions, all sorts of stuff dealing with the future of television and the future of communications overall. And we'll be speaking live on location with Joshua Ness. He is one of the key people at Verizon Media's 5G Labs. And we'll find out about 5G's role in television. If you think it's just a smartphone deal, it isn't. It's also a television deal. And we hope to have other guests as well live on the scene. So be sure to join us live, particularly if you're in tech or you want to find out the future of television. Join us live at a special time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Tomorrow we televise on the road, live from the NYC Media Lab Summit, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Talk about how the channel is structured. I understand that it's not that like 33 different half-hour shows, a bunch of five-minute segments. How is the channel structured to the viewer?
It's simple. The five-minute segments are all listed by disease or condition. So you have things about women's health, men's health. We have teenage problems, suicide, addiction. It goes by topic. So when you come on to the channel, you find the top premium channel at the top where you have women's health, men's health, children's safety, just hours and hours of different types of health topics. Then right below that, we have five-minute segments, again, all by topic. So they're really, you know, I've always said that we have, you know, from asthma to Zika, just about anything that you want to know about healthcare, you'll find. And the sample that we have put on the streaming channel pretty much covers everything that's important, and we keep adding to it on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Are you starting to hear from outside producers, production companies who want to produce for the channel?
We have, but we produce all our own stuff. We have crews that travel all over the country. We're out in Houston right now. We just go all over the country shooting doctors that have new and interesting areas of medicine that they're exploring and that they're treating, especially in heart disease and in cancer. And now we have really focused some of our attention on medical marijuana and have gone to Yale University, where they're doing a lot of studies there. People have flown in from Israel to do some pieces on that, and we've just finished another segment on medical marijuana from the University of Irvine that is also doing studies on pain and motion, and that's all on the streaming channel.
How slippery a subject is that to cover the medical uses, the medicinal uses of marijuana, given the climate of the country?
That taboo is gone. I've been doing this for a long time. That taboo is gone. Doctors are very aware that this is a very serious treatment for certain things. It's a wonderful thing for pain. It's a great thing for motion things like Parkinson's and Tourette's. I did a segment at Yale University on motion with Tourette's and Parkinson's. And I have to tell you, after doing this for 30 years, it was the most amazing segment, most amazing interview that I've ever conducted. And I really saw the power of CBD at work.
One of the other major health issues right now is e-cigarettes.
About vaping and e-cigarettes, yes. And yeah, it's a concern. And I have several of my doctors have gone on camera, and they're all on my channel, and they talk about vaping, the dangers of it. But you know, they're a little mixed in that because they have patients. I have one doctor who has just written a best-selling book on lung cancer. And he sees people who have been affected by smoke, and they're in there begging, you know, to be treated and to try to quit smoking. And one of the things he tells them is to wear a patch and to, you know, chew gum, tick a lollipop in your mouth, and if you have to, vape. And then 10 minutes later, he tells you how bad vaping is. But it does have its use in curtailing people who have a bad nicotine habit. It slowly rolls you off of cigarettes.
Before we get back to the channel and where it's going to go, how did your series on PBS begin in the first place?
It was very interesting. It was there was a tragedy in the United States. There was a hospital that had a very big, serious PR problem. And at the time, I was a mechanic or someone who fixes problems in advertising and PR. And they called me in, and I fixed the problem by creating the American Health Journal for them and bringing their doctors and their facilities back into the public view in a positive way. And after about 13 weeks, I thought that assignment was finished, and the president of the company says, no, we need a lot more of this. This is great. And then we got more and more hospitals involved, more people involved in wanting to get the word out and to get their PR rolling. And this is what we did. It just grew from there, and it grew to what it is today. And we've covered 110 hospitals in the United States and have interviewed over 7,000 physicians on camera.
Two things. Were you able to get a presenting station to sponsor the show or to originate the show from? Because most PBS stations do have an originating station, WNET here in New York, WET in Washington, until several years ago, KCET in Los Angeles, which is now PBS SoCal. Or KRA in Dallas, TGM in Chicago, and so on?
In the beginning, we started off with KVCR in Los Angeles. There are two stations. Actually, there are three stations in Los Angeles, PBS stations, and one of them is the oldest PBS station in the United States, I believe, is KVCR. And we began there. We're still on there, of course, but we're syndicated, you know, San Francisco, Denver, Houston, New York, we're all over. But that's one of the places that we began. But our first beginning, the very first time we did this, we did it on ABC back in the 70s when it was not cool to do healthcare. And so in Santa Barbara, California, we did the very first health show from the studio there on a Sunday morning. And we started getting viewers, and it just grew from there. People were interested in healthcare, done seriously, because a lot of the shows that are on there today are host-driven. There's some, and they do some, you know, some unusual things. They bring someone on that weighs 800 pounds, or someone who has a terrible facial problem, or, you know, the sensationalism type of healthcare. and we're not any of that. We talk about things that are important to people and their families and things that affect their lives, like cancer and heart disease and diabetes. You know, that's a very, very big topic today. And people are dying for information for that. I mean, they get information everywhere, but to get it from a series of doctors that deal in diabetes every day, it's important.
We're speaking with Ronald Perez. He is the executive director of American Health Journal, the weekly PBS series carried in most parts of the country, and now American Health Journal Channel, now available through Roku since late last week. He joins us live from Palm Desert, California this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thank you for making us part of your Monday and kicking off your week with us from All About Television. We have a few more minutes with our guest. If you have a question or comment for him, ring the phone number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a great 9-minute episode to wrap up the week on Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Godfather of Harlem, new series about an actual Harlem crime lord of the 1960s starring Forest Whitaker, who's also an executive producer, premieres on Epic Sunday night. We will have, and we just confirmed this in the last hour, a live interview with co-creator Chris Brancato, and we may have the other co-creator, Paul Eckstein. They will be our lead guests. And then we'll talk to a husband and wife team that have formed their own company for unscripted TV called Bright Buy Creative. His name is Brandon Killian. And finally, more than a week after the start of BET Plus, we will have the general manager of that service, Devin Griffin. That's all coming up on a 90-day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And don't forget, coming up on Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, our special on-the-road telecast, or I should say audiocast, podcast, whatever you want to say it, live from the New York City College of Technology in downtown Brooklyn for the annual NYC Media Lab Summit. Roland, I mentioned that Amazon Fire TV and Apple TV are going to be getting the service. Do you know when they will be?
This week. I heard from them this morning, actually at 10 o'clock this morning, and they imagine that they will be, both of them will be on before Friday of this week.
And what's after that? What about smart TV sets from Samsung, LG? What about Google Chromecast? Where does that all stand?
Before the end of the year, we're already obviously on Roku TVs, but the smart TVs will just follow. We're just waiting for the technology approvals from each one of these stations, Apple TV being one of the toughest, which we like, and we've got approval 2 weeks ago, and now we're ready to go on this week.
How do you fund both ventures, both the PBS series and the channel?
How do I what?
How do you fund both projects, the PBS series and the channel?
We fund it through foundations, the hospital foundations. We fund it through some folks that love healthcare, want to do things for people in healthcare. Not a difficult thing. We have a lot of friends on that we've associated with PBS over the years, and it's not hard to find people who are interested in getting information across, especially in cancer, that would fund a show. We don't allow commercials, no phone numbers. We do, for instance, do maybe an internet address or so. But other than that, it's basically we just get the information out and people are willing to support us in getting that information out. In the streaming channel, though, I will say in the streaming channel, we are doing advertising in that area.
Mm-hmm. Now, the press release that came out about the service last week suggested that there may be more such streaming channels on smart TV sets and devices before the end of the year. What kind of channels will they be? How will they be different from this first one?
The second one, which we're going to probably launch in January, is going to be on complementary and alternative medicine. There's a lot of interest in that area, and they're making it through the mainstream. I've been doing this, like I mentioned many times, I've been doing this a long time, and years ago when someone said acupuncture, you know, you were a man from Mars, you know, that was voodoo. And now if you walk into one of, and I walked into one of the biggest orthopedic centers in the United States to do an interview, and on the ground floor, there's a doctor there offering acupuncture. So it's a growing subject, which is alternative and complementary medicine, and we're going to have a channel that will deal with that. Our third channel, which we hope to launch in June, perhaps sooner, depending on content, is a channel on medical marijuana, because of all the things that I have seen in this business, is just the interest in medical marijuana. Let me just tell you that I was at a hospital the other day, and I ran into a baseball player who his name is Steve Garvey, and he is a Hall of Fame player, retired of course. And I asked him what he was doing, what he was up to, and he said that he had just purchased a large, thousands of acres in Minnesota, and he's growing hemp. And it's all for medical marijuana. It's all for patches. It's all for pain. He says that, aging athletes don't want opioids. They don't want to take pain pills. They want a simple patch over one of those joints that will relieve their pain, and that's one of the things that he's doing. So there's a lot of people into this, and a lot of universities, famous universities, that are spending millions of dollars researching CBD.
The service is called American Health Journal Channel. You can find it now on Roku, soon on Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV, and certainly before the end of the year on other smart TV connected devices and smart TV sets, with more such channels in the offering. If you'd like to know more about the service, here's where you go, www.thedoctorshow.com. That's www.thedoctorshow.com. You can also find out about the weekly series on PBS, American Health Journal. It's available on PBS stations across the country. As we always say with the PBS program, check your local, it's not only the PBS station in your area, but when they play the service. Some play it at a designated time, some play it twice a week, some play it one time on weekdays, other times the weekends, some in various time periods. So you have to be very, very careful in terms of not only finding the PBS station, but when they play it. And for more details about that, of course, in addition to thedoctorshow.com, pbs.org. It's American Health Journal, weekly on PBS, American Health Journal channel, now available 24/7 on Roku, with more smart TV devices and sets in the hopper. Roland Perez, the executive director of the project, of both projects, thank you both for joining us. Pleasure to have you on. Congratulations on getting this new service off the air, service on the air, and good luck with the other healthcare channels you hope to do down the road.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Roland Perez, executive director of American Health Journal and American Health Journal channel on PBS and on Roku, respectively. More Tomorrow Televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual story, try this one, Little Lovely Things by Maureen Connolly. It's a very unusual tale about living life and living life powerfully. And you can get it right now with a trial run of Audible.com. Audible.com from Amazon.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And that includes the growing catalog of audio originals, original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater around the nation, as well as one-woman and one-man shows. And the great thing is, if you go for a trial run, that's a one-month deal, you get not one, not two, but three audiobooks, and two of them being Audible originals. And from then on, you can order up to three books a month on a great subscription basis. So check it out, audiblechild.com/televised. That's audiblechild.com/televised. And hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Coming up in our next half hour, a full recap of the 2019 Primetime Emmy Awards that were held last night on Fox. I'll have some thoughts about the winners, and also some thoughts about the ceremony itself. And we want to hear from you. What did you think about what took place last night? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll get to all of that and the answer to our current classic trivia question after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and speaker.com. Together, they reach more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Both are home for Reshape Our World with Karen Tate. Check it out Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and learn how you can reshape our world with Karen Tate. That's Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker.com. And the best of both, available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Well, back to the second half of Smart Retail Live for this Monday, 23rd of September 2019. Simon Appel with you live from New York, 88 degrees top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. And now we want to get you in the conversation when it deals with the results and the ceremony last night of the Primetime Emmy Award on Fox. So if you have a comment or a question or want to sound off, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or if you're shy about using the phone, put it in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/tell. Coming up later this half hour, we'll have the answer to our current classic trivia question. If I was a betting person, I would have lost big time on what really was the most surprising, not just Emmy Awards, but maybe award ceremony in recent years. My picks going in was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel over Veep for Best Comedy, Game of Thrones for Best Drama, When They See Us, the Ava DuVernay miniseries for Netflix, and Deadwood the Movie on HBO. And boy, was I off the map, maybe even off the globe. Because here's what happened. I was only one right on one count, Game of Thrones winning Best Drama for its great run on HBO. For Best Comedy, one of the big surprises in recent memory, I think, in any history, Fleabag on Amazon, with, of course, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the star, writer, and director. This is a show that, when it first came out, was a cult favorite. And for most of it, it was a cult favorite. Nobody that I know who predicted Emmys, and I saw a lot of Emmy predictions last week, video, audio, in writing, none of them suggested that Fleabag was going to have the kind of night it had last night. It not only won for comedy, it won for Best Actress in a Comedy for Phoebe Waller-Bridge, as well as writing and directing. So she was like the big star of the night in the most unexpected surprise of the night. I think for many people, it was really delightful. As mentioned, Game of Thrones won Best Drama. Chernobyl beat When They See Us for Best Miniseries. And made-for-TV movie Bandersnatch, the extended episode, the interactive episode of Black Mirror that may have kicked off the era of interactive television, period. And I'd like to say something again about Bandersnatch. I said this the last year. I said this the year before. Extended episodes of current television series are not made for TV movies. This is not a problem with Netflix. This is not the issue with Black Mirror or anyone involved in making that show. This is the TV Academy with a loophole that needs to be out the door now because it's an affront to the made for TV movie people. Once again, they got screwed, royally screwed. Bandersnatch did not deserve being a made-for-TV movie Emmy Award winner. Just like the episodes of Black Mirror before that, USS Callisto and San Junipero, marvelous shows, by the way, marvelous individual episodes, given up for writing and directing and so forth, they were, and Black Mirror for Best Individual Series, Best Drama Series, they would not belong in the made-for-TV movie category. It is time for the Emmy Award people to go all the way and say, no, this never will happen again. Made-for-TV movies are made-for-TV movies, made especially for television, 90 minutes or more, with miniseries being at least 4 hours in length. That's it. Period. No exceptions, no none of that garbage. And frankly, I think, I said last year when USS Callisto won, the made-for-TV movie community should really get on the Emmy Awards case and insist that this kind of thing not happen again. That's the last I'll say about that. In the variety categories, last week tonight continued as the top getter for Best Variety Talk Show, and Saturday Night Live won the Best Variety Sketch Series. For acting awards in comedy, Bill Hader won again, second straight time, for Actor for Barry. I mentioned Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. Supporting actor and actress went to people from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Tony Shalhoub, remember him from Monk? That's for Best Supporting Actor, and Alex Bernstein for Best Supporting Actress. In the drama category, this is Game of Thrones winning for the show, Best Actor, this was a great and nice surprise. Billy Porter proposed. I met Billy at the Peabody Awards, one of the most interesting people you will ever meet. His speech, by the way, was one of the highlights. How about him reading James Baldwin in terms of thanking the audience and thanking the people that saw Pose? Great, great deal. By the way, acceptance speeches were the highlight of the night, a lot of them, one of them being Billy Porter. For Best Actress, Jodie Comer for Killing Eve, another big surprise. I'll be a little fan. Sandra Oh was going to get it. It was really nice that they both piled before Comer took the stage. Another great moment of the show. For Best Supporting Actor, for the fourth straight year, it is an Emmy record, Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones. And Best Supporting Actress, another surprise, and I think this was more than just Fitz's performance, it was Julie Garner for Ozark. In the drama categories, the Writing Award went for Succession, and Jason Bateman won the Directing Award for Ozark. In the miniseries and movie categories, I wish again they would please separate this so that neighbor TV movies go up against neighbor TV movies, acting, writing, and directing, and miniseries the same thing. The Best Actor, great move, Jahal Jerms from Jerome from When They See Us. He was really terrific, and it was great for him to acknowledge what many people know is the Central Park Five, who were all in the audience, the Exonerated Five. They all stood up, another terrific moment on the show. Best Actress, Michelle Williams for Foxy Vernon. Her speech about pay equality in TV and entertainment, outstanding. Supporting Actor, Ben Whitson from A Very English Scandal on Amazon, which also starred Hugh Grant. And Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for The Net. Her speech acknowledging her late sister who passed away earlier this year, another outstanding moment. And again, for the writing and directing, they both went, like Fleabag was for comedy, movies and miniseries went to Chernobyl. In terms of the results overall, in terms of individual programs for Sunday night, Fleabag was the winner with 4 Emmy Awards, Chernobyl with 3, and then a tie for 3rd place among Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Game of Thrones, and Ozark, 2 awards apiece. Overall, taking in the Creative Art Emmy Award results from the weekend before, Game of Thrones, the big winner, 12 Emmy Awards out of 30-plus it was nominated for. Chernobyl was in 2nd place with 10, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel with 8, Free Solo, the National Geographic documentary, 7, Fleabag ended up with 6, and SNL and the Netflix short-form anthology Love, Death, and Robots, number 5. Incidentally, one of the other Netflix winners was for a guest we had in this program, Sylvan Nighting, several months ago, who put together a show based in Bushwick, New York, about a person and his dog named Ein Bruno. In addition to, we don't know if that series will come back for a second season, but we do know they had a contract now with Netflix that he's going to do a hip-hop musical, again, shot on location in the Bushwick section of Brooklyn. As far as how the streaming networks did, HBO the big winner with 9, Amazon 7, Netflix with 4 on Sunday night, and overall, no contest. HBO beat Netflix 34-27, but a nice surprise, Amazon was 3rd place with 15, National Geo because of the situation with Free Solo and also won for Life Below Zero, 8 awards, NBC the big broadcast winner with 7, and finally tied for 6th place, 5 awards each, CNN, on the basis of, among other things, Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown and Kamal Bell's United States of America, and FX tied with 5 with their awards for Foxy Vernon and other series. So that's the recap of the Emmy Awards, what we're presenting. Congratulations to all the winners. Congrats also to the other nominees, and et cetera, both on last night's awards and the Creative Arts Awards that were given out the previous weekend. And now let's talk about the ceremony, or I should say what was maybe in quotations a ceremony that unveiled over 3 hours in prime time on Fox last night. There's a lot I could say about this, and it's not good, because what showcased on Fox last night from start to finish, with the exception of those wonderful acceptance speeches, was unmitigated, embarrassing garbage. Plain garbage. I could be a little more scatological, but I won't, because we're a family-friendly show. But garbage was evident from start to finish. It was very clear that somebody at Fox, the Television Academy, and the producer of the show were not on the wheel. Let's put it that way. Because what took place was an absolute disgrace. It was a disgrace to the television industry. It was a disgrace to the television medium. It was a disgrace to Fox, to the winners, to the losers, to the people in the audience, and everyone watching. I mentioned in the first half hour that the ceremony last night may, if the preliminary Nielsen results continue as is, that this may be the lowest rated, lowest watched, lowest viewed award competition of any in TV history. It's very possible that between 5 and 8 million viewers saw last night. That would be off 23 to 25% from last year and 30% from 2 years ago. And maybe some people will blame the low rating on Sunday Night Football and NBC. Some will blame it on the final night of Celebrity Family Feud and $100,000 Pyramid on ABC. Some will blame it on what else was going on in another network. But let's put the blame where the blame belongs. It belongs on people turned off by a show that had no business being on Fox. None. This show was embarrassing from start to finish. Segments that went over the head of viewers. Segments that were disempowering what television was all about. Segments that basically screwed up the medium. And how about this? This is the first. For the first time, watching an award ceremony, the absence of a live orchestra with a live musical director giving appropriate musical cues for nominees and winners when they got up on the stage. To have the people behind Chernobyl, whether or not you thought that show deserved to win the categories it won. And I thought they said, I thought West, When They See Us on Netflix should have won, for at least for Best Miniseries. But for the people of Chernobyl to go up on that stage and somebody pressing a button for a song called Feeling Good as they went up there to accept their awards was inexcusable. It was embarrassing. It was a sham. And if there was a live orchestra with a live musical director who had the common sense and decency to know what to play, when people dealing with a topic, a program on a sensitive subject like Chernobyl, this would be a problem. And this happened in the entire night. Not just once, but throughout the entire night. You mean to say that an award show as prestigious as the Emmys, that is right up there with Oscars, Tonys, and Grammys, can't afford a live orchestra and have to settle for a shuffle on some iPhone or smartphone or iPad without any sense of what should be played appropriately? Give me a break. And amid all this, for nobody involved with the making of this show to oversee and to question, should we put this stuff on the air, is an outrage. The American public and the people who had their blood, sweat, and tears to create the shows they did that were being honored last night deserve far better. And somebody's head should roll. And by the way, I can't believe that Don Michener, who's one of the very best producers of award ceremonies, was involved in this presentation. I am so angry and so embarrassed by what happened. I cannot believe he produced this show. I can't. I've seen his work before. It's marvelous. He's one of the best. But somebody was asleep last night that needed to be up. And why was Peter Dinklage censored toward the end of his acceptance speech? He didn't curse. He wasn't scatological. He was ready to a point. You have to wonder where everybody's heads were at. It was, and the reaction from the Hollywood Reporter, from Variety, all the same. The best thing was the acceptance speeches. To a T, they were marvelous. And even that couldn't help people from staying awake and watching that show and turning off other things. The Television Academy has got to take full responsibility, full accountability for what happened last night. And heads have got to roll. And the next time they do an award show, an Emmy show, somebody had better take on the accountability of overseeing what gets written, what gets produced, what gets on, and what doesn't. And have the courage to say, you know what? This shit doesn't work. People won't get this. You are too over the head of people. How about doing segments that showcase where TV is at and where it's going? The value of smart TV sets and smart TV devices, the value of services like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, and the contribution they've made to shows, not to mention multicast channels, not to mention unscripted versus scripted television, showcase the new talent, and why some of these shows were picked, what made them great, instead of stupid comedy sketches that are no beginning, no middle, and no end, and were complete failures. This show failed to perform last night. And if the Emmy Award people want to have a ceremony next year or the year after, they've got to get their act together. This has got to be the last straw. Because what took place on Fox last night was garbage from start to finish. It did not belong on Fox's airwaves or any airwaves for that matter. And the people behind the Emmy ceremony could have done a world a lot better. So now I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Love to hear from you. Put something in the chat room. I know there's some people in the room. Put something in. Love to respond to it. Let's hear from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SunApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. As mentioned earlier, this is the first of three episodes we're doing on Tamarbi Televised this week. Once again, on Thursday, we're coming your way live for the first time on the road in several years. We'll be with you live from the New York City College of Technology in downtown Brooklyn, not far from the Manhattan-Brooklyn Bridge, for the annual NYC Media Lab Summit. It's promised to be a very exciting display of where television and other media may be going over the next few years. And we will have Joshua Ness, who is one of the key people at Verizon Media's 5G Labs. Like I said, if you think 5G is just something for smartphones, you may not realize how very important 5G may be to television. And I think Joshua will have a lot to say about that. Plus, we'll have other guests as well. And again, all live. We may have a studio audience, too, at that location. So be sure to be with us. And yes, you can ask questions to our guests by phone or chat room. And then coming up the next day, regular time, by the way, the Thursday episode will be on 1 hour later than normal, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Then Friday, back in our regular time period, we will have from Godfather of Harlem, the new epic drama, produced in Harlem and starring and executive produced by Forrest Whitaker. We will have creator executive producer Chris Brancato. We also have the other creator executive producer, Paul Eckstein, with us as well. Then, one of the key people making some very unique unscripted television, Brandon Killian, the president executive producer of Bright Bay Creative. And finally, we'll have an exclusive rare interview with the general manager of BT Plus that launched last week, David Griffin. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So we're waiting for your call, 646-652-2906. So use our chat room. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you, positive, negative, whatever you're thinking about the Emmys last night, the nominations, the winners, the losers, how that ceremony went. Excuse me, did you feel the same as I did? Did you conclude that this show was garbage? Love to hear. And by the way, if you can't get through today, I'd love to hear from you throughout the week. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Also follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, at UBCSimonTWK. Love to hear from you. And we'll get back on the subject, by the way, maybe on Thursday and Friday as well. So please do. I'd really love to hear from you. And I would also like to hear from Fox and the producer of the show. And if the TV Academy would like to say something about what I just said about the ceremony itself, I'm all ears. We'll put them on the show. Love to hear from them. So, again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. In the meantime, let's wrap up our current Classic Trivia question of the week. We had it for the last 2 weeks, ever since a very Brady renovation premiered on Home and Garden Television. It's done very well on Monday nights. The question was, name the Brady Bunch's pet. Name the Brady Bunch's pet. We wanted both the name of the pet and the type of pet. And the answer, tiger, a dog. Right from the pilot on down. By the way, if you ever saw the pilot for the Brady Bunch, there was another animal, a cat named Fluffy. And unfortunately, Fluffy didn't make it to the opening episode. Tiger did. So the answer is tiger, a dog, was the answer to our classic trivia question over the last 2 weeks. So unfortunately, nobody came up with the answer, so nobody wins. The three-minute rule, say less to get more from any pitch or presentation. The upcoming book by recent guest Brant Pendivic, unscripted TV executive and producer. We're going to give our classic trivia question a break this week. We'll bring it back next Monday, and we'll pose the question. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're the first with the correct answer, you will win the three-minute rule. We'll also try to get a second prize up for grabs, too, as well. So once again, if you know the answer, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, when you email, enclose your name, full mailing address. So if you win, we'll get the prize out to you ASAP. If you miss the question next Monday, we'll post it Tuesday on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Whatever you're out to do, play in for the win. We really appreciate it. Join our wonderful circle of classic trivia question winners over it's been over 2.5 years now since we've done the segment, and we've had quite a few. I think we've had something like 25, almost 30 winners over that time. Well, we'd love to have more, and you can be one of those winners, but you got to play in starting next Monday when we see what hear from you at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. All right, we're still waiting for some comment from you about the Emmy Awards, either the winners, the losers, the nominations, as well as your thoughts about the show itself last night, which was on 8 to 11 o'clock Eastern, 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific on Fox, and I believe they also had a replay. And incidentally, that preliminary Nielsen data does cover combined East and West Coast live presentations of the show. I'm not sure if it covers the if there was a late presentation by Fox Station on the West Coast, if it covers that. But again, if you missed the first half of the show, we mentioned that the preliminary Nielsen numbers were 23% off last year when it was on NBC. Last year, by the way, there were 10 million viewers. Right now, the preliminary is calling for between 5 and 8 million viewers. It would be the lowest-rated ceremony, not just Emmys, but any of the big four. That's Emmys, Oscars, Tonys, and Grammy Awards. I'm going to give you one more minute to respond. Call in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if we don't hear from somebody in the next 45 seconds or so, we'll start wrapping up for the day. And I really, really appreciate all of you listening to my – this is one of the biggest rants I've had. But last night, catching this show was so frustrating, so embarrassing. It just opened up a lot. And, again, I love hearing the TV Academy. I'd like to know what they were thinking about this. About this presentation, because somebody's got to answer for it. It really was an audience turnoff, and nobody really deserved this. Those 3 hours on Fox last night. All right, so I'll tell you what, we're coming up on 6 to the hour, so we're going to wrap things up for the day. Again, thank you to Roland Perez, the Executive Director of American Health Journal on PBS and the American Health Journal channel, now on Roku. And it looks like what he said today, before the end of the week, it will be on Apple TV and Amazon Fire, other smart TV, connected devices and smart TV sets before the end of the year, and maybe a unconventional health channel coming up, alternative medicine, as I like to say, before the end of the year. So thank you again to Roland for being with us. If you want more information about that service and about the American Health Journal channel on PBS stations across the country, www.thedoctorshow.com. Also, for the PBS show, PBS www.swampycoatlive.org. Remember, coming up on Thursday on Swampy Coat Live, we will go live from downtown Brooklyn, our first on-location program in a very long while. We'll be at the New York City College of Technology, and we'll be live for the NYC Media Lab Annual Summit. We'll have Joshua Ness from Verizon 5G Labs on the program. You'll be able to call in with questions and comments from the scene, and we hope to have some other guests, too. We're also looking possibly at an Associated Press reporter who follows Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and so on and so forth. Then, on Friday, oh, by the way, again, our Thursday episode, 1 hour later than normal. Make sure you get the time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And again, you'll be able to ask questions and comments of our guests. Then Friday, our regular time, Chris Brancato, creator, executive producer, with Paul Eckstein of the new epic series, Godfather of Harlem, starring and executive produced by Forrest Whitaker, which premieres on Sunday night on Epix, on cable systems all over the place. Also, Brandon Killian, the president and executive producer of Bright Great Creative, unscripted TV maker, and Devin Griffith, the general manager of BT Plus, that premiered late last week. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, anytime you like, check us out on podcast. We're available on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, www.iHeartRadio.com. If you go to iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our episodes right then and there. Or go to Categories at the top of the screen, click for Entertainment, then click our show, and you will get it. Remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guest today and the TV that organization is doing, both for PBS and the smart TV sets and devices? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? And again, your thoughts about the Emmy Awards ceremony last night on Fox and the results of the Emmy Award competition for this year. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Whatever you say is great. You can find me on Facebook, comment that way, and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. That's UBCSimonTWT. We have nearly 710 followers from all over the place. I did some tweeting about the Emmy Award winners as they were announced. That's on Fox. So I'd love to hear from you through social media as well. However you communicate, it's appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of participants, not necessarily those of Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. At BTR, production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Block Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonberg is executive content producer. And the co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Chowrish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks, including two Audible originals, that growing catalog, and a 30-day trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday and early on in the week. And we'll be back with you on Thursday. Remember, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, live from downtown Brooklyn, the New York City College of Technology, for the NYC Media Lab Annual Summit. Tune in, and by the way, if you're in the area, check out the summit and be with us in the live audience. We'd love to have you aboard, too. Whatever you're doing this week, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.